Well, Terry Podolak, a frequent and favorite guest and upstate dietitian and nutritionist, joins us this morning. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Trish.
Terry, you've identified a handful of real problems that have developed in American diets, and one of them we want to talk about this morning because it really relates to this holiday time of the year, doesn't it?
Yes.
Glycemic index. First, explain what that means.
Yes. The glycemic index means foods that can raise your glucose, which is your blood sugar. So those are refined foods,
okay.
that are digested real quick and give you a quick spike in that blood sugar, which then releases some insulin.
All right. So now we know what the medical part of it is, but what does it mean to those of us who don't really understand the medical side of this? Mm-hmm. We're raising our blood sugar. It's kind of like a quick hit, isn't it?
Yes.
And then it goes away pretty quickly. But it can become a real problem for some people, can't it?
Yes. Having chronic release of your insulin can just cause more inflammation within your system, maybe just not feeling well. The other thing is it doesn't give your stomach that quite feeling of longer fullness. So you get hungry quicker.
It almost makes you want more sugar, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
All right. This is a particular problem for people with diabetes.
Yes, because, you know, when you have diabetes, you really want to make sure you're not getting those extra spikes or quick of glucose because you don't have enough of the insulin to cover that.
Right, because the insulin is what brings the sugar levels down.
Yes.
All right, and of course, for all of us, diabetics and people who are not diabetes, the idea is to keep your blood sugar as even as possible, isn't it?
Right.
And typically, insulin takes care of that?
Yes, yes. And the other thing, too, is that if you're getting a lot of quick spikes in your insulin, it can lead to more deposit of fat tissue. And we're all trying to, you know, keep our weight down.
Oh, yes. Aren't we ever. All right. So there are specific foods that cause the glycemic load. That's what you call it when the sugar spikes too much or when you have too much in your system, right? And what are some of those foods? Because these are actually things that we're eating all the time, but we really need to avoid. And we are going to give listeners some ways to cut them down, aren't we?
Yes. Okay. Those are the white foods, the white flour, the white sugar, the white pasta, the white rice.
And what about potatoes? I think they're carbohydrates anyway.
Yes, white potatoes too. Those can also. A lot of our foods, though, are eaten with other foods. So if you do eat some of these white foods, you may balance them out with some protein or your vegetables. So it's not saying you totally always have to avoid the white bread or the white flours, but if you can switch to better alternatives.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the things that we could substitute, and let's get into some of the holiday cooking and baking as well as we go through this. Not all of those things, but certainly, what are some of the things instead of using white flour or putting white flour maybe in our cookies that we're baking or the mm-hmm. cakes, what could we use instead?
So I recommend going and looking for that whole grain flour.
Okay.
And maybe using some more oatmeal in some of your recipes or some dried fruits, some nuts. So if you do have that, even with your white flour, having some fruit or nuts will lower the glycemic
kind of
value a bit.
Balance it out a little bit.
Yes.
All right. Now, what if my neighbor brings me a bunch of cookies, and I'm pretty sure they've all been baked with white flour. What should I do instead?
Enjoy, but in moderation, of course.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So as long as I just don't eat a lot of them.
Exactly.
I should be all right. Yeah. Okay. What's a good substitute for white rice?
Brown rice.
Okay.
Just some whole grain rice. There's a lot of other grains, too, that people just aren't familiar with, and you might want to look at trying some barley in your soups versus rice.
We put barley in soup. We love barley in soup. Mm-hmm. It tastes really good.
Yeah. So, and quinoa is starting to become more popular.
Spell quinoa, because I know that's a very strange spelling or strange pronunciation.
It's Q-U-I-N-O-A.
Okay. And that's pronounced quinoa.
Quinoa, yes.
All right. And where would you use quinoa?
Is a substitute just for rice as a side dish.
Okay, sounds good. How do we substitute white pasta? Although I'll say that, and then I'll say I'm seeing some new pastas on the shelf.
Yeah, I look for just a regular whole grain pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to experiment which brand or variety tastes better to you, but there's a number of them out there.
And white potatoes. I mean, who doesn't love mashed potatoes?
Right. Maybe keep the skins on them.
Okay.
And again, make sure you have some good vegetables with them to add to the fiber so that helps slow your digestion.
And sweet potatoes are pretty good for you, aren't they?
Yes, yes. Sweet potatoes have a lower, I think, glycemic index.
And we read a lot of good nutritional things about sweet potatoes, so maybe that would be a good substitute there. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the bad boy of all is the white sugar. Let's talk about white sugar. What do we substitute for white sugar?
Yeah. You may want to experiment with your recipes, but you could substitute honey or just look for some raw sugar Okay. Even the sugar that's not so quite refined, or just using a little less sugar in your recipes.
Okay. Where do you find raw sugar? Because I don't think I've ever seen that on the shelf.
In the health food section.
Health foods. Okay. Yeah. Health food section of the store, or even one of the health food stores we could find it in.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. You know, there are sugar substitutes as well. I mean, I put Splenda or Equal or one of those in my mm-hmm. coffee, and now there's a new one, Stevia. How do you feel about those sugar substitutes?
My personal perspective is just moderation. You can try them, see what you like, but I myself personally just use the real sugar, but less of it in moderation.
Okay. But it's not necessarily, we don't have research necessarily on the effect of these sugar substitutes, do we?
No, but...
I know you don't want to make a statement because you don't have the research to back it up.
Some authors are saying that mm-hmm. they feel and that if you do, even with a sugar substitute, there's no calories, but it can trigger your brain to sense, hey, this is a sweet. Mm-hmm. It's going to release the insulin, or it may get you to crave, again, more sugar.
Very good. What about some of the things, too, that we put into some of, like, the cookies? I'm thinking specifically of there are these substitute chocolate chips and things like that, which I think we're supposed to be backing off on, again, some of the glycemic effect of these things. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about some of those kinds of foods?
I just don't like anything artificial. I like, simple ingredients that are just whole foods. And, again, just in moderation.
And should they be organic?
If you can afford it.
Okay. Yes. All right. So organic if you can afford it. And certainly some of these substitutions will keep us healthier. But I think your big word was moderation.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And being mindful and enjoy, your desserts.
Very good. Yeah. Well, Terry Podolak, nutritionist from Upstate, thank you so much. I think you've been helpful as we cook and bake our way through the holiday season.
Thanks, Trish.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Well, folks, imagine we're Neanderthals, huddled around a fire, gnawing on hand-carved entrees from a brontosaurus leg in the cave, celebrating winter solstice in our best saber-toothed sarongs. Suddenly, we're vibrating wildly, looking vaporish, and we're beamed into the future to a 21st century holiday party. First glance shows we're seriously underdressed. And the next thing we see, no Bronto leg on the buffet table. Yikes, after all that hunting and gathering. Our sniffers discover, though, that some of the new buffet smells like our old buffet. And look at how much there is, with no hunting and gathering needed. Just noshing. So keeping a wary eye peeled for that original party pooper, Mr. T-Rex, we gnaw away like no tomorrow, because for many of us, there wasn't. We pile high on big plates, especially with Bronto look-alike, because it really quiets the gnawing belly. This is fun! Then some Penguin Guy hybrid throwback mentions that care in noshing should be employed, because research shows we often put on a few pounds every year at Hanukkah Christmas, whatever that is. Weight we never lose again. But then, whoa, vibrating and ghosting again, we're beamed 20 more years into the future. Same party, same folks, looking like their parents now. Disconcertingly, we see the great stone wheel of fashion has not brought us back into style yet. And what's more, our tiger skins have gone tight in the middle. That same boring penguin man leans in with, "I told you so, Dr. Double Neck Up," and explains that we've been eating many more calories at all these we-can-eat-all-we-want parties because our eating brain, unchanged since Neanderthal days, wants to chub up whenever, because who knows when Mr. T-Rex will impolitely eat the whole Bronto, leaving us hungry. Now, fellow cave people, let's beam to the present. What to do? Easy. Use our modern brain's cortex, developed specifically to learn from past buffet boo-boos. If we're pile two hires, grab a smaller plate. If you're a double or triple dipper like me, remember, we can count now. Basically, plan ahead for the weakest link in our personal food chain. I'm Dr. Rich, Flinthead O'Neill. Thanks for stopping by the cave.